distractions. Amen. Woo. Wow. Amen. Victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. Victory in Jesus. Father, thank you for your presence within this place. Wow. Thank you, Father, for your presence is in this place right now. That we have ears to hear what you're wanting to say to us today, God. For this word that you've put up on my heart to minister, Lord, this anointed word, and that you've anointed me to bring forth this word today to your people. Let all those that have an ear hear that my words are seasoned with love, and that you hide me behind the cross, Lord, that I can speak what's on your heart today. And everybody said, amen. Amen. When we think of the book of Psalms, or Psalms 23, rather, we're reminded of the great promises of the Lord. And today we're going to be talking or looking at the last part of verse 5, where it says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Sound like I'm really loud. Am I loud? Okay. This morning I want to minister to you a message that I want to title, God Anoint My Head, or Anoint My Head God, whichever you want to put first. But so that's what we're going to be talking about today. So the anointing, we understand, was a common practice in the ancient culture. And shepherds often pour oil on the heads of their sheep, and we're going to be talking more about that in a minute. So the anointing became like a blessing, protection, and empowerment. And the Jewish people anointed the altar, we go back and read in the Old Testament, when making sacrifices. Spiritual anointing was related to the idea of strength of blessings. We read in the Old Testament that priests were anointed with oil, later followed by Samuel anointing Saul and later David as kings of Israel. In other words, they were set apart, separated, set apart for a calling. And this anointing sanctified a person as a chosen one among the people. And so, and then we go over into the New Testament, and we're told God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has what? Anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. So he anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And this term was used to emphasize Jesus as the chosen of God. But also in addition to the Old Testament leaders and Jesus being anointed, the Apostle Paul takes it further and says the anointing of all Christians. So we're all anointed and set apart after salvation for the service of God. And if it is, Paul says in Corinthians, and it is God who established us with you in Christ and has anointed us. So lay your hand on yourself and say, I am anointed. Who has put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So we go from the Old Testament, New Testament, and Paul tells us that if you're saved, born again, son and daughter of God, you are anointed. You are set apart. Amen. You are chosen. You know, chosen generation, a royal priesthood, called out of darkness into his marvelous light. So in Psalms 23, David compares himself to a sheep in relationship to what God does on his behalf. And David knew firsthand, we know that David knew firsthand what it was like to be a shepherd, because that's what he did. That's what he was called out from. And so that is what he did. And the many dangers, he knew about the many dangers that sheep faced as he took care of them and what they needed to survive. And we read of the times that David said, I killed with my bare hands the bear and the lion and the bear that tried to kill the sheep that I was taking care of. And he knew that sheep could get their head caught in briars and die trying to get entangled. So he knew what it was like for sheep to be in that position. You know, they would get close to cliffs and they would have to be gathered back to the fold. And there are other enemies that the sheep face. And it's not the big ones that we think about. It's not the cliffs that they could go over. It's not the bears or the lions or the wolves at night that get a hold of them. It was the small little things that would cause the sheep to kill themselves. And we're getting ready to look at that. So sometimes in our life, it's not the biggest things that harass us, but it's the little things that's a nuisance to us day after day. you know, that aggravates us to the point of that we feel like sometimes we're just going crazy. So the sheep were often bothered by, you know, lice and insects, the little things. And the shepherds would pour oil on their head, making it too slippery for the insects to crawl so they could just crawl off. But the one thing, as I began to go back and I began to study the sheep, there's one thing that bothered them the most, and it was called a nasal fly. And these little flies buzzed around the sheep's head, attempting to lay their eggs on the damp mucous membrane of the sheep's nose. That's gross, isn't it? Well, sometimes things have to get ugly before it gets pretty. Amen. You've been there. So if they are successful, the eggs would hatch in a few days and formed a small, slender worm like a larva. They worked their way to the sheep's nasal passage into the sheep's head. And when that did this, it caused severe irritation to the sheep, and for relief from the pain, have you ever seen anybody, like you watch those emergency room shows, that had something, a bug in their ear? How they just like, you've got to get this out. You know, it's driving me crazy. That's what I thought of when I was studying this. And so it caused severe irritation to the sheep. And for relief, just to get some relief from this, the sheep would often beat their heads against a tree or rub their heads on a rock to the point of death to try to get relief from that which was aggravating them. And I'll say it again, it's the small things in life that if we don't get rid of them, they can become bigger. But we look at the big things sometimes as something that's blocking our way, when actually it's just that small nuisance of a thing that comes at us day after day. And so, but when the shepherd began to see signs of this happening to the sheep in his fold, he would anoint their heads and smear the oil on the nose of the sheep with a special oil they made for that particular purpose. You know, God has got the right thing for your deliverance. And you don't have to look anywhere else. And sometimes we just need to ask God to smear us with oil. Just smear us with oil. Because actually, when you go back and you begin to study it, that's what that actually means anyway. So once the oil is applied, the sheep begin to see immediate relief. Wow. Isn't that awesome? So just as David said in Psalms 23, the sheep then could lie down and rest. And that's what God wants us to really realize in our salvation. There is a place of rest for God. That the little things that are bringing us nuisance and irritating us day in and day out, he's just saying, hey people, hey sons and daughters, hey, there's rest for you. And it's found in knowing me. So as I began to study on this, I thought, you know, I may not be bothered by some things like other people or whatever, but like sheep, I'm stubborn at times. Ooh, white. Like sheep, I go toward cliffs at times in life, and I find my shepherd guiding me back to safety. Like sheep, I walk through some dark valleys, but I have learned to have no fear. I've seen the goodness of God as he has prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You know, like sheep, I need to have rest at times. And my shepherd has refreshed my soul as he guides me beside the still waters. You know, there are other irritations that buzz around in my head. And they try to rob me of my peace and my joy. And sometimes it's chatter. Remember us talking about that chatter one time? We need to get rid of a lot of this chatter that's around us at time. And there, you know, Beelzebub. I want to talk about Beelzebub for a minute. Because when I was thinking about the flies, I remember somebody saying that Beelzebub was the Lord of the flies. So I went back and I did a little research on that. And Beelzebub is a pagan Philistine god worshipped in the ancient Philistine city of Ekron during the Old Testament time. And it was a term signifying the Lord of Flies. Archaeological evacuations, whatever that, I can't pronounce that, at ancient Philistine sites have uncovered golden images of flies. So there's actually proof of that. So after the Philistines, the Jews changed the name to Beelzebub, as used in the Greek Testament word meaning Lord of Dung. You could take that as far as you want to. The devil sends his sharpshooters called Beelzebub demons because he can't be everywhere all the time. Only God is omnipresent and omniscient. Amen? So he sends these sharpshooters out that we talked about that time. And they become flies that just buzz around our lives and causes irritation and causes confusion and causes doubt and causes temptation and all those things. So there's nothing more aggravating than having a fly buzz around your face. Now, I don't know about y'all. I was poor when I was growing up. We didn't have air conditioning, so we always left the windows up 24/7. So you would always get woke, and it was in the country, and you always get woke up with flies. Flies is part of living in the country. I'm finding that out more and more now. I forgot about it. But there's nothing no more aggravating than a fly buzzing around your face when you're trying to sleep. There's nothing no more aggravating than a sharpshooter fly that the enemy sends buzzing around your head when you're trying to get rest in God, and he's told you to rest. And about the time God draws you away to find that place of rest for a while, here comes the Beelzebub, a demon of the Lord, flies of the Lord, buzzing around your head to say, you need to get busy, you're resting. You know you need to do this, that, or the other, for God wants to do this for you. You've got to do this to see if God will do this for you. You try to go to sleep and the wheels won't stop turning. You're robbed of sleep with the fly buzzing around in your head. You try to make a decision but can't because of the fly buzzing around your head, thinking, well, maybe it's not the right one. Well, maybe it is the right one. Well, I don't know. Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies, the enemy of our soul, is always trying to gain access, always trying to gain control over our minds. He played with Eve's mind. He played with David's mind. And he even played with the mind of Christ. When the devil tempted Jesus, we could go read in the Word. When he tempted Jesus for 40 days in the wilderness, he tempted him in three ways. The same way that he tempted Eve and the same way that he tempts all of us today. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. His tactics have not changed. He's just found new ways to invent tactics to harass people with. It's still the same enemy of our souls. So those temptations, we read, takes place in our minds. That's where it all starts. And we're called to put on the whole what? Whole armor of God that we may do what? Stand against the wiles of the enemy. We learn to take every thought, the Bible tells us, to the obedience of Christ Jesus. The enemy may not bother us with flies, but he uses other things to buzz around our heads, like bitterness. Are you letting bitterness go? Thoughts of anger, thoughts of depression. You know, he tempts to sow seeds of doubt, fear, and guilt, insecurity, and shame, and all those things that he wants to get into our heads and get into our minds with. And I have an answer for that because the answer is always found in the Word of God. Go back to the Word. Go back to the Word. When it says, you shall know the truth, and what does that truth do? That truth will set you free. Know the truth. Become intimate with the truth. Study the truth. Speak the truth. Know the truth, which is the Word of God. And it says the Word will set you free. Remember, using the Word of God is how Jesus resisted the devil in what we just read. So there is power in the truth of God's Word. And this is our sword. This is a sword, sword of the Word, that we use against the enemy. So we can pick up the sword and let it come forth out of our mouth. A mighty weapon against the enemy. You defeat the enemy by the Word of God. It is written. It is written. So we've all heard the saying that you can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you keep it from building a nest in your hair. Well, I don't know about you, but I have them fly over my head, and sometimes I've not allowed them to fly over. I've actually had them to land in my head, and I've actually let them stay there, and I've actually let them hatch eggs. And that's where you get in trouble. Anybody know what I mean? So, you know, and, you know, lay a few eggs, and I've seen them hatch, and I've seen them come out. They have come out to joy, peace. They've come after joy, peace, and hope being stolen because I believe the lie, whatever lie the enemy may be telling you, and you've allowed the enemy to lay some eggs in your mind, and perhaps they began to hatch. Wow. What are the lies? What are some of the lies the enemy's been telling you to keep you from progressing in your relationship with God? You've lost your joy, lost your peace, your faith beginning to waver. The enemy's trying to steal your hope, and you're saying, what can I do? So then I just began to hear the Lord say, you're in a good place, for the Father God has heard your cry for help. And he's chose, and he has come today to bring deliverance to you. Many have come alongside of you and said, this is what you need to do. Have you had those well-saying people in your life that's always willing to give you a word? But my spirit that's within you, yes, that unction that I have placed within you says there is a better way. I am the way, Jesus tells us. For without acknowledging, for within you acknowledge you need me. Yes, I am here now to bring back the hope that has been stolen from you. For today is a new day. So arise and know that I am near to the brokenhearted. Praise God. Hallelujah. So healing is your portion, says the Lord. And I like that other meaning for anoint in Psalms. It means to fatten. That's what the anointing means. It means to fatten. It means to make healthy, to make fresh. Praise God that thank you, Lord, for just smearing us with your oil today. Amen. Reminding us, setting us apart, reminding us that we're set apart for good works. And I believe that our good shepherd desires to anoint our head in the same way that he does for the sheep to help with them, those aggravating fly demons that come along in our life, that wants to put things on hold, that tells us the lies, and we've allowed them to remain and to hatch in our lives. Then we get so used to things being the way they are, even if they're wrong, we become comfortable sometimes in the wrong. Because sometimes it takes effort to change sometimes. Don't get comfortable in the wrong. Because like we was reading about the nasal fly and how gross that sounded, sometimes things have to get messy before they get better. Sometimes things have to get messy before they get better. And there's always that way out. So God does have an answer to those things that are troubling us. And like I said before, it's the small things in life that harass us more than the big things sometimes. And sometimes the enemy wants us to focus on the bigger things when really it's a small thing that is holding us back and that is troubling us and irritating us and being a big nuisance to us. The oil that David is talking about is symbolic representation of God's Holy Spirit. In the Old Covenant, people would apply blood to the high priest as part of the anointing. You can go back and read, it was the right ear, and it was symbolic of the mind, and the right thumb, symbolic of the work, and then to his right toe, symbolic of the walk. And all of this was symbolic, represent cleansing and anointing. And on the day of Pentecost, God poured his Holy Spirit on his people, and there appeared tongues as fire, and they set upon each of them. All this happened for a purpose. The good shepherd was anointing their heads with oil, with the Holy Spirit. And it was so awesome that they couldn't contain what was happening. So guess what happened? They were filled with power, and their cups began to overflow. And they began to speak a heavenly language. Just so much that it spread it so much, their cup was so overfull that the blessings poured out because of the anointing, that 3,000 souls were saved that day. Wow, anoint us again, Lord. Smear us with your oil again to where our cup overflows, that we can see that in our day. The blessings of God on our lives began to flow on others. And as I said, 3,000 were added to the faith that day because of their testimony of God's anointing. God wants to anoint our heads today because the enemy has been playing with some minds. I don't know about you, but he's been playing with my mind this week. But there is a healing, both physical and spiritual, that is needed in our personal lives, in our church, our congregation, in our city, and God wants to anoint our heads with oil today. In the case of David, the oil that he's talking about, as I said before, is the same Holy Spirit. He's not an it, but he's the third person of the Trinity, and that anointing, that gift, is forever born-again believer of God. God wants to anoint us. He wants to set us apart. He wants to bless us. He wants to heal us. He wants to work in us and through us more than we could ever want. And the enemy wants us not to. He wants us to stop us in our tracks. He wants us to put things on hold. Maybe later when I get this worked out. Maybe later when things calm down. You know, maybe when things aren't so busy. And if that's your attitude, if that's the way you feel, guess what? Things are never going to calm down. Things are always going to be busy. Why? Because life goes on. So Ephesians 5:18 tells us, do not be drunk with wine, wherein is in which there is indulgence or excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So are there any sheep here today that would say, you know, you don't have to raise your hand. I've allowed the enemy to lay some eggs in my mind, and it's driving me crazy. Just like the sheep, you know, that was banging their head against the rocks, that was banging their heads against the trees and the stumps to get that buzzing out of their head. And sometimes that happens to us. When that buzzing is going on and we've allowed those things to take place in our mind, we can't make rational decisions. We can't do what we're called to do at that point because we're so busy trying to get the noise and the chatter out of our head that we can't hear God sometimes. And just like the shepherd in the old covenant would apply that oil to the sheep's head because he loved them and didn't want to see the flies destroy them. And that's what God wants us to do. Everything God does for us is out of our love, even when things seem messy on our part. You know, even the wrong choices we make, even the times he has to jerk us by the shirt tail and pull us back from the cliff, it's all because of the love he has for us. And sometimes we come back screaming and not wanting to, but it's all because of the love that he has for us. And so we all have a good shepherd that loves us and doesn't want to see the enemy destroy us with his lies. So we can lift our voices this morning and say, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up. Come and quench this thirst in my soul. Here is my cup. Fill it up and make it whole. You, O Lord, anoint our heads with oil. So that you would bless us so that we may bless others. Cleanse us and separate us for your service today. You know, as I look at all of you all today, I see great potential in every one of you all. Why? Because there's a big God that's living inside of you. There's a big Holy Ghost living inside of you. Amen. You've got gifts and callings within you. You've been separated. You've been called out for this time. And I see that potential in you, and he wants to do great things through you. He wants to do great things in the earth through this church, in this county, and in your lives, and in this community. The oil that you're anointed with today does not do this, but we simply use it as a representation of God's Holy Spirit, just like they did in the Scriptures. The oil itself doesn't have any power, but it's symbolic of saying, I'm going to anoint you with oil. The chatter that you've been hearing, you're going to walk out today with a clear mind. The flies that's been harassing you and buzzing around you and even your home, God says, today is the day of deliverance. Today is the day where things are going to calm down. Things are going to calm down. So join us up here. Join me up here right now if you would like to be anointed with oil. This morning we're going to, Pastor, if you've got some music or anything back there you can play. Caught him off guard. Amen. I'm just simply going to walk by you unless the Holy Ghost prompts me to say anything else to you and anoint you with oil this morning. Yeah, you go back there and see if they're finished. You want to? Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to start with you, and then I'll get you, Jerry, and then you all can Father God, I just anoint Brother Jimmy right now in the name of Jesus, that he has been set apart, Father God, to do mighty things for you in the earth now, in Jesus' mighty name. Father God, I just anoint my brother in the name of Jesus. I just thank you, Lord, that he's been set apart already for good works, to do great things in the earth for such a time as this. And you have anointed his hands to play upon the instrument, God. And there is a new anointing that's coming up on these hands, God, to play for your glory. In the name of Jesus, so be it. So be it in Jesus' name. And I just pray for Brother Sam, God. I just pray that his mind remains in clarity. No chatter in the name of Jesus. I just thank you for the anointing coming upon him right now, God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. I just thank you for Brother Bob, God. I just thank you for the anointing that's upon him. That he's been set apart, God, for such a time as this. I thank you, Father, that his hands are anointed to play. Yes, even in a new way. For your glory, Father God. For your glory. In Jesus' name. I just pray right now for my sister, God. I just thank you for Rita. That's been set apart for such a time as this. For the anointing that's upon her. And Rita, I just want to say there is a fresh anointing coming upon you to write. all those things.
He is mighty to save.
God is going to just stir your spirit. The
author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, he can move the mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Of the risen King, Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen.
Let the whole world see.
We're singing for the glory of the risen King.
Just pray with grace right now, God. I thank you for the sweet, tender spirit. And I just anoint her right now in the name of Jesus. That she keeps her mind clear of all the chatter that's around her sometimes at school. I thank you that she always has an ear to hear you, God. And the voice of your spirit is strong in her. That she
down on my knees again.
That she set apart
God,
in this season your glory.
She's rendering.
I just pray for Greg, God. I just thank you for the anointing that's upon him. I thank you that he's mind can clear up all the
Lord
chatter around him. It's good. Separated for your purpose and for your glory.
Pets are an important part of the family, and they deserve a steady diet of love and attention. 4Health is a quality pet food inspired by your commitment to giving your pets only the best, like meals with premium ingredients such as salmon, beef, and chicken, as well as whole.
Jesus, that this is a season, God, that you are just opening the jump out of her. That's what it's going to feel like. That just Lord just going to jump out at you in this season. Thank you, Father.
Just bring us my soul. His mercy and grace unfold.
Just thank you for breath. Thank you for what you've done in his life and his body, God.
Hunger and
thirst. In the name of Jesus, we separate each other. God.
Speak to me now.
just thank you, Jesus.
I want to know you. I want to know you.
I thank you that she doesn't give into the chatter that's around her school, God, that says go this way or that way. But she knows your voice. She discerns your voice. And I thank you that she is going to follow the plan of purpose that you have for her life. She's not going to be aborted by the enemy. And I just anoint her in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. What's your name?
Seth.
What? Seth. Father, I just thank you for Seth. Seth, God, that you have a heart after him. That you have a hunger to know him. And don't let nothing.
What fortunes lie beyond the stars.
For he says that you go to know God.
Those dazzling heights to
last. Every chatter. Any chatter that would come and try
so
to
high
that from
to fall
you,
so
that you fulfill
far.
God's purpose in your life.
But I found heaven as love swept
up. Right now,
my heart beating, my soul breathing. I found my life when I laid it down, upward falling.
I just
spirit soaring.
I search
the sky.
I thank you,
Jesus.
I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord.
What treasure awaits within your scars? This gift of freedom, love can buy. I bought the world and sold my heart. In heaven, you have me again. My heart beating, my soul breathing. I found my life when I laid it down. Upward falling, spirit soaring. I touch the sky.
A time of rest.
Buildings, cheerleading pyramids. Pizza. They all need good foundations. And Papa John's foundation is crust. Crust is the first thing your tongue touches when you take a bite. And this dough right here is fresh, never frozen. And now it's slathered in garlic sauce and parmesan. Dang. The new garlic parmesan crust for just $10. Better ingredients, better pizza. Papa John's.
Oh, thank you, Father God. Wow, God. Yes. Wind of the Holy
15
Spirit.
15 laps for this one, ladies and gentlemen.
Bring refreshing.
Singles main event.
Clarity. Clarity like never before. Yes, Holy Spirit. Continuing in the surface of the world.
Here we go. Look at Mishler up the middle.
Rock the ship out.
That's bad news for everybody else. Shannon Texter's on the high side. Come on. Go! Out front, it is Morgan Mishler, the 69 bike in lead. Where's Shannon Texter? She's in the sandwich for about six.
It's refreshing with this next season in your life. Yeah, refreshing, God. Holy Ghost. Yes. And I thank you right now, God, that you just refill them with the Holy Ghost and fire. Holy Ghost and fire. Holy Ghost and fire.
Wow.
Yes, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen,
amen, amen, amen. Amen. Praise God.
Back past him.
Have I what?
Have you checked?
Have I checked?
Pastor made a comment that in the movies and on the TV, when Clark Kent took his glasses off, they didn't know he was Superman. Well, you notice Pastor's got his glasses off. So does that mean he's Superman? We'll find out. So I don't know what happened to Gerald. So we got a new man this morning. He's got his glasses off, so we'll have to come up with a superhero name for him. No, that's why. But you know.
What was on there? That one right there.
16.
They're still telling secrets. Let's see. Does anybody else have anything you want to talk about this morning? Pardon? Yes. We have a who? Mr. Sam? You were a war. You know, you didn't. You weren't in World War II. You were in the Korean War. Is that right? No, in between World War II. Okay, you were. Would you stand up just a minute? Okay. So where were you stationed?
Well, several places here in the States, but I was stationed in Adak and the Aleutian Islands for 1 year.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was an experience, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I wasn't in any combat.
Okay.
I went in just at the end of World War II, and I was in until 48 when I got out. I just missed Korea.
Yeah, I knew you. It
started in 50.
Yeah,
I'm grateful God took good care of me.
I am too. Pray, how old are you, Mr. Sam?
92.
92 years young. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Okay. Pastor reminded me of something, and I'm going to go ahead and mention it because actually I forgot about it. But the T-shirt said Matthew 9:6, but actually should have been 19:26. And it was my fault, and I don't know how it happened. I really don't. And the only thing that I think that could happen is I was getting ready to be an officiant at a wedding during this time, so I was meeting with a couple going back and forth. But anyway, this is what 19:26 says. With men, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Dare to believe. So I text Laverne. I said, the T-shirts look wonderful. The colors are great. But I said, this is the scripture that's on them. But I said, I dare to believe this too. So this is what the scripture actually says. In the world in which we're living in today, you might need to go ahead and spread the good news with dare to believe this. Wherefore, they are no more twain one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. So this is my advice to you. Okay? When people ask you about that, because people probably won't even look up that scripture. If they do, this is what you're to tell them. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And tell them that you are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, joined to Jesus Christ, and nothing is going to separate you from that, because the Bible says that nothing shall separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Okay? That's what you need to say. I apologize. I looked at it, and it was definitely my mistake. But that's what I want you to say. So when you look at, so if someone tells you what it says, you don't have to repeat the first part, just repeat the last part, and just tell them that. Amen. Well, I'm glad. That's, and you have to forgive me because, you know. Yeah.